Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Today we'll check on the Giants farm system with four guests from San Jose Municipal Stadium, home of the San Jose Giants. Plus, we'll hear from a former Giant. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, recently I was out at San Jose Municipal Stadium for our new television show, which I definitely suggest that you take a look at on BAOSN.TV. It's called Orange and Black Best of the Farm, covering the entire Giants farm system. And we were recently down in San Jose. I had a chance to talk to some players and the play-by-play announcer and the general manager there. So we're going to hear from Logan Webb, one of the top pitchers for the San Jose Giants, Matt Wynn, his catcher, as well as Joe Rizzo, the voice of the San Jose Giants, and the general manager, Mark Wilson, who has been there for a very long time. Also on this podcast, we're going to hear from former Giant and current Cincinnati Reds pitching coach, Danny Darwin. Let's start with the San Jose interviews and Logan Webb. Logan, you're having a great start to the season. Tell us what's gone into your success so far.
I think just trusting my stuff, and I mean, I have a great defense behind me, so it's not like I don't have to do too much. So just working, trying to get better every day, and just going from there.
I know you had to come back from Tommy John surgery, so you're limited as far as the number of pitches, innings that you can throw. So how has that gone so far? Do you feel like you want to be aggressive and get a little bit more every time you go out there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, as a competitor, you always want to go as much as you can, especially as a starting pitcher. I mean, there's some games where I feel like I can go 6, 7, 8 innings, but I think I understand why they want me to stay on an inning limit, and just trusting that. And I mean, at some point I'll be able to, so waiting for it, you know?
What was the recovery like? I mean, I'm sure that you had to have a lot of patience coming back from Tommy John surgery.
It's a mental grind. It's a full year, and just working every day for a year, it's tough, gets boring a little bit, but I was able to get stronger, fix my mechanics, everything, and it's helped out big time.
Was there a point where you felt like, okay, I can really let it loose now, I don't even have to think about it? Because I would imagine the first time you took the mound coming back from it that there was kind of a mental hurdle.
Definitely. It was tough at the beginning, but once you get a feel for it and you feel good, you just got to let it go. And once I did that for the first time, it was easy from there. I mean, it's not easy, of course, but it just felt really good.
Well, you're throwing a fastball at 95 miles an hour, so obviously it's worked out pretty well. Do you feel like, you know, it's gotten stronger? Some guys throw harder after Tommy John surgery.
I think it was just more of that full year of just building my strength, getting my body right, and just like I said, the mechanics part of it, and there's so much that goes into it that I think once I came back, it just felt better, and just going from there, it feels good, yeah.
Let's talk about your background growing up in Rockland, Sacramento area. I heard that you were an A's fan, so who were some of your favorite players growing up on the Oakland A's, and did you get a chance to go to some games?
Yeah, I went to some games. My grandfather was a Giants fan, so I went to a lot of Giants games too, but I loved watching when Trevor Cahill and all those guys came up, Jared Parker, it was a fun group to watch when they had that little run, but it was also fun watching, it was awesome watching the Giants. And I really liked Matt Cain and Ryan Vogelsong, and those are my two pitchers I kind of try to emulate. So
yep. Those guys are horses, and I've already heard the comparison of you and Cain, the guy who goes out there, no nonsense. Is that you? Do you just get locked in the way he did?
Yeah, I try to, and Ryan Vogelsong's been out here a lot of times helping us out, and hearing from the coaches and everybody, he was the biggest competitor also. Him and Cain were, always after, going after 110%, and I just try to do that every single time I'm out here.
How much fun is it to be a part of a good pitching staff, too? I mean, you mentioned the defense, but the pitching seems to really be leading the way for San Jose so far.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think we have overall, we just have a great group of guys, and I think we could have a really special team this year. And I think we all just want to win. Last year was tough. As an organization, we kind of underachieved, and I think this year we have a really good group here. And Augusta, Richmond, Sacramento, and then the big league team. So we, as a pitching staff, we just – try to do our jobs, try to get our innings in, put some zeros up, and it's been good so far. I hope we keep it up.
All right, what's the craziest story? You were in Augusta, you're here in San Jose, whether it be a bus trip or just a get-together with these guys, what's probably the funniest thing that's happened so far in your career?
That's a tough one. I'm not really sure. I think a funny story. It wasn't funny, but in Augusta, the bus broke down, and
that could be funny.
Yeah, it was. It was funny, but at the time, you didn't really. It was hot. It was 105 degrees, 100% humidity. But that was a funny story, I think.
Well, what did you guys do when the bus was broken down? Just play cards and hang out? What happened?
Just play cards. Try to take. You have to take your shirt off. It's 105 degrees out. Play cards and just drink as much water as you can.
And you guys had long bus trips in that league. This league maybe not as bad. I've heard there's like a 12-hour bus trip in that Sally League, right?
Yes, it's long. It's very long.
All right, Logan. Hey, thanks a lot for the time. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
That's Giants prospect pitcher Logan Webb. Let's hear from his catcher, Matt Wynn, in a conversation we had in San Jose recently. Matt, you've been swinging the bat really well lately. I know you just had a 16-game hitting streak, so what's been clicking for you?
Just trying to stay consistent with my swing, doing the same things every day, and just not really trying to do too much.
This team is playing good baseball. Does that help everybody? Everybody's trying to develop, but at the same time, winning, is that important?
Winning's always important. Our team has great team chemistry, and honestly, this might be one of the best teams I've had in my pro career, chemistry-wise, so everyone clicks, everything's going really well.
And you've been able to play for all the different affiliates. You spent time with Sacramento and Augusta and Richmond. So tell us about the experience. What are some of the differences at the different levels?
Well, obviously there's more fans the higher up you get, and baseball gets a little harder. But it's really just the same game. You just got to stay consistent and stay within your approach, and everything will work out for you.
I would imagine that, the young kids that come up to this level can be a little wide-eyed. The Cal League is, of course, harder than the Sally League. What do you tell the young guys when they come here?
Like I just said, it's the same game you've always been playing. It's just a little bit bigger venue, better guys, but it's just the same game. Just stay within yourself and do what you can.
When you have a chance to play in Richmond, that must be special because, you're from the area. You went to high school there and everything. So how much do you enjoy that?
It was awesome. My house I grew up in was about 10 minutes away from the field, so I was able to live at home, had all my friends and family come out to games. So it was a really special moment for me.
Tell us about the pitching staff, because it's really been good so far, and being able to catch all these guys.
Yeah, we got a lot of talented guys. Got Melvin Nadon throwing almost 100. Logan Webb's throwing almost 100. Mac Marshall's throwing hard. So, we got a lot of really good guys, and it's really fun to catch them. It's really fun to get to know these guys and really figure out how they like to pitch.
So calling pitches, I don't know, do you call all the pitches or does it come from the dugout?
I do call the pitches, yeah.
So calling the pitches, when a guy possesses a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, is it hard to not just put down number one every time because you're thinking he could blow away these hitters?
Yeah, you got to mix in a slider or change up every now and then. Anybody can hit a fastball. That's basically what all hitting coaches and all hitting philosophies are, is to hit the fastball. So you got to mix in something slower every now and then. Even 100 sometimes is easy to hit if you know what's coming.
I remember in talking to some major league catchers, they sort of feel like they have to be a psychologist sometimes because you have to know all the personalities of the pitchers. So how have you learned to do that?
Just talking to them. Really in the locker room, just talking to them, trying to figure out how they act, what makes them tick, like how to get through to them, how to communicate with them. Sometimes you gotta be hard on them. Sometimes you gotta be easy on them. Just kind of knowing how they are as a person.
Have you ever gone out there to the mound or even talking in the clubhouse with somebody and said, "Man, this guy's just wacky"? I mean, I don't even know how to get to him. Has that happened?
There's been a couple guys. I mean, pitchers are a different animal for sure. But no, you get to know them pretty well.
And I would think as a hitter, too, you always have to keep in the back of your mind what a guy's throwing, because you might face that guy if he gets traded or something like that. Do you always kind of keep a mental, sort of a book in your head about all the pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, usually I have a good idea of what every kind of guy's got. And I'll try to write down things that I see that are good, that they do very well, so that I have it in the back of my mind when I'm catching them. But, yeah, usually I have a good idea of what they've got.
And what about, a guy like Logan Webb, who is coming back from Tommy John surgery? I mean, he feels like he wants to be out there throwing more innings, but do you feel like you treat him a little differently, like kind of get as much as you can out of him in the few innings he's out there?
Yeah, him and Mac Marshall both are kind of on that same program, and we kind of talked before the game, and while I'm in the bullpen, I'll kind of see what they've got and what's working well for them that day, and kind of just go from there. I mean, the guys that they have piggybacking them are pretty similar. So I try not to leave those guys out to dry. I try to stay with the same approach I would with a regular starter. But for the most part, it's really just about what they have that day.
Who were the catchers growing up that you watched and said, "Man, I'd like to be like that guy"?
Wow. Well, Justin Verlander's from my hometown, so I grew up watching the Tigers a lot and saw Pudge Rodriguez catch a lot. I liked him. I really liked Joe Mauer. I was always kind of taller as a kid, and he was a really tall guy in the league, so I liked watching him play. And I kind of took my right center field approach from him and really just wanted to hit the ball out to right center field every time. So, yeah.
Well, Derek Rodriguez, the son of Pudge Rodriguez, is pitching really well at AAA Sacramento. I don't know if you got to know him, but you could talk about his father a little bit.
I've talked to him a little bit. I haven't really talked to his father, talked about his father very much. But, no, I mean, I think any catcher growing up has looked up to Pudge Rodriguez. So I'm sure he's had that conversation plenty of times.
All right, Matt. Hey, thanks a lot for the time, and good luck with the San Jose Giants.
Of course. Yep. Thank you.
That's San Jose Giants catcher Matt Wynn. Coming up, we're going to hear from the voice of the San Jose Giants, Joe Rizzo, right after this. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right. Just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Now let's get to the conversation with Joe Rizzo, the play-by-play announcer for the San Jose Giants. Joe, this is a very exciting team, it appears, so far early in the season, and you're in a pennant race.
Yeah, the first half really heating up right now, still about a month remaining, and it's important games even in the middle of May with the way the Cal League schedule works itself out. You split the year into two 70-game halves, and if you win that first half title in your division, you clinch a playoff spot, so that's nice to be able to do that in mid-June, and the Giants and the Stockton Ports and the Visalia Rawhide are all bunched together at the top of the division, so these are some big games coming up for the Giants in the coming weeks.
Well, you're always going to have a chance to win games when you have good pitching, and you guys have solid pitching. Tell us about some of these guys like Connor Menez, who's been really good all year, Logan Webb, Mac Marshall. They all seem to be getting the job done.
Yeah, the Giants are second in the California League in earned run average. It's definitely been the starting rotation that has led the way. You mentioned Connor Menez, the only returning starting pitcher in the rotation. He was an all-star in this league last year. It kind of tailed off a bit towards the end of the season and still pretty young. He's only in his second full pro year. So they're giving him another go-around here in the Cal League. He's emerged as the ace. Just a command lefty who throws four pitches for strikes, and he's racking up a ton of strikeouts right now. And you mentioned Webb and Marshall. Those are the two guys that the organization is bringing along very slowly. They're both coming off of elbow injuries. Webb had Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago, so he's starting for the first time since then. So he's basically only been a three- or four-inning guy, but electric stuff. Kyle Haynes, the assistant farm director, told me the other today that he thinks Logan could be the number one pitching prospect in this system in a year or two. He's that good. It's a mid-90s fastball and two secondary pitches that both have plus potential. And then Mac Marshall, the lefty, only pitched in a couple of games last year, so same kind of deal, only going about 3-4 innings at a time. Still battling some elbow problems right now, but when he's been out there, it's been very good as well.
How about the bullpen? I know Myers won the Pitcher of the Week award, so he must be going pretty well.
Yeah, it's unusual for a reliever to win that Pitcher of the Week, but because Webb is only going those three innings, Myers is actually piggybacking him, and DJ's usually going 5 or 6 innings. On a good day, he's finishing off the game, and in his two long relief outings last week, 11 scoreless innings, 2 hits, 14 strikeouts, so he won that award. A guy who has a kind of that starter's mentality coming out of the bullpen. He knows when he's going to pitch. He's following Logan Webb every time out, and it's been a nice 1-2 combo every fifth day for this team.
Now in the lineup, Matt Wynn, he just had a 16-game hitting streak that was snapped. So is he one of the real leaders in that lineup?
He is. The veteran catcher spent some time in this league last year, so he kind of knows the ropes here in the California League and is supplying a lot of offense from his spot behind the plate. The 16-game hitting streak just ended earlier this week, and 5 home runs during the hit streak. So he gives you that power bat from the catching position, which is very nice to have and something that the Giants as an organization have obviously had a lot of success with in the past. But it's not just offensively for Wynn. He's back there 5-6 days a week, so he's doing the job defensively and handling this very talented staff.
You got this kid Fargus. Am I pronouncing this right? Janeshwi?
Janeshwi.
I keep messing that up. Janeshwi Fargus. He's just hitting like crazy. I mean, he's been up in the high 300s with his average.
Yeah, he's a fun guy to be around. He's a high-energy player that he stole 59 bases a couple of years ago with the Augusta Green Jackets. So he's pretty close to that pace right now and can play all three outfield positions. It's just good to see because he was in this league last year, actually was demoted mid-season. So you're always curious to see how a guy kind of responds when you get that second chance. And he's taking it and running with it right now and has been one of the hottest hitters on this club.
All right, we'll remember his pronunciation, Janeshwi, so we get that right next time. You've had a lot of great moments in this season, but I don't know that you can top two hitters hitting for the cycle in the same game and needing a triple to get the cycle, and both guys get it. I mean, that had to be incredible. That was early on in the year.
Yeah, it was amazing. April the 11th in Lancaster, Gio Brusa and Jalen Miller hit for the cycle in the same game. It was an 18-6 Giants victory. It had been 9 years since a Giant had even hit for the cycle, one guy, and we found out that it's never happened in a major league game, two guys hitting for the cycle the same game. It has happened, I guess, a couple of times in minor league baseball, but very exciting for them, for the organization. Like you said, they both needed a triple to get it done. Gio hit his triple in the 8th inning, and I think Jalen's triple, which came in the 9th, it kind of surprised everybody. Everyone was still kind of riding high on the Brusa triple, and Jalen hits his, he gets to 3rd, and I think it was Mac Marshall in the dugout that looked out to him and said, did you just hit for the cycle? And Miller nodded his head yes, and then everybody went crazy again. So it was a fun night, a fun atmosphere in the clubhouse afterwards. I know they both got phone calls from David Bell, the farm director, and Lipso Nava, the manager here, addressed the team. It was great fun and obviously something that we'll never forget, and a tremendous accomplishment for both.
That's pretty rare. Now, last thing, you had a chance at spring training, Major League spring training, to call the games on the Giants website. How much fun did you have? And plus, I mean, that must have been a great way to prepare for the season to see all those players.
It was a lot of fun. The folks in San Francisco, very welcoming, all the broadcast crew people there. And of course, in these spring training games, they're all my guys here in San Jose, you know, guys we've had here in recent years and top prospects that are now usually up in AA and AAA. So I had a great time with it. Hopefully a chance to do more going forward. And it really was a lot of fun.
That's San Jose Giants play-by-play announcer Joe Rizzo. I also had a chance to chat with Mark Wilson, the longtime general manager of the San Jose Giants. Here was that conversation. Mark, you've been here a long time. We were just talking about it, 35 years. You've seen it all in the California League, so are you still enjoying this?
Yeah. Some people, Joe, say maybe a little bit too long I've been with the San Jose franchise. But you know what? You really got to reinvent yourself every year, which our staff and our franchise has done. And every year presents a whole different new challenge.
Well, one thing that stayed the same, I mean, the food here is great. When you go to the barbecue, Turkey Mike's, that's really what Municipal Stadium is known for. And everybody comes out here, has a great time.
You nailed it, Joe. A lot of times to the casual fan, They may come to a handful of games during the year. They may know if we have a player on injured rehabilitation, but they may not know who our center fielder is. But one thing I do know that they know about is the quality of the food situated right down the left field line there with Turkey Mike's.
Well, you mentioned the rehab assignments every once in a while. I know when Madison Bumgarner pitched here last year, that was quite a boon as far as the attendance is concerned. You can't count on that, but it must be great when you do have those rehabs.
Well, Joe, those 2 days I was really, really smart. And then on some other days, you're not so smart. But they're a welcome if they happen, but we don't look forward to them because we want those players really producing at the major league level. But if for some reason there is an injury or something that they need to work on, they come down here, get their work in, and hopefully we help them get back to the major league level real, real soon.
How is the relationship with San Francisco? I mean, just having the Giants name, the brand alone, I mean, that has to help a lot. And just what you guys deal with as far as, you know, making sure that the players are taken care of.
Oh, yeah, that's first and foremost. We wear the same uniforms. I mean, our uniforms are actually white. They're not quite cream, but we wear the Giants colors, black and orange. Giants are our majority owner, so we're Giants from the tip of our toes to the top of our head.
You mentioned uniforms, and I know over the years the San Jose Giants have had a lot of different uniforms, promotions. It's fun. I mean, you get to see all these different things. So, you know, what's the best promotion or, you know, maybe the craziest uniform that you thought, wow, I don't know if this is going to work, and it did?
Well, there's been so many of them, but just last Saturday we did our Star Wars promotion. And I think we're on 5 or 6 years of that, and we've seen the attendance on those days every single year get bigger and bigger and bigger. There's a lot of Star Wars fans out there. There's a new movie coming up, and they showed up last Saturday for Star Wars night and really tested our staff that night. But it was a fun night.
I think the SpongeBob uniform might have been my personal favorite.
Yeah, I can't keep up with them all. That's how many there have been, and our marketing team does a splendid job with new, fresh ideas and looks, and we have a few of them up our sleeve for this year.
Well, what's cool is you have the new ones, but some of them stick around if they're really good, like Smash for Cash, where a player on the team, a current player, tries to hit one of the headlights on this truck, and it's just fun to watch. It always has been.
Yeah, it's something you don't expect to see, especially when you see that vehicle come out of here. And sometimes the vehicle goes on a disabled list and maybe on a rehab assignment as well, because I've seen some of our players and our staff actually push that thing to the finish line after some of our fans have shared some cash with our players.
How about some of your favorite players over the years? I used to be in this league as a broadcaster back in 94 and 95, a long time ago. But I remember Russ Ortiz being here, Bill Miller. I remember Tim Flannery was our manager in Rancho Cucamonga. And he said, Bill Miller, he's looking at him. That guy's going to be a big leaguer. I didn't see it. I just didn't get it. But it happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of players, a lot of talented players at this level. And it's all about opportunity. And some guys you don't think are going to make it, and they do. Look at Kelby Tomlinson. When he was here, he was injured, didn't really produce. And then he moves up to the higher levels and does really, really well. And then you have the other side where you have guys that have career years here, but they may not be able to quite get to the next level. Remember that center fielder that we had? Everyone still talks about him. What's his name, Joe? He came from Cal State Fullerton.
Oh, Gary Brown.
Gary Brown. He had a career year here.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be the next leadoff guy, but you have to make the adjustments at each and every level. And obviously he had difficulty at the upper levels and didn't quite get there where a guy like Kelby does, and then you have a no-brainer. When we saw Buster and the whole core of the Giant players that won championships here, 05, 07, 9 and 10. When you win at this level, it's because you have really, really talented players. And that's why I'm excited about this group is we're off to a great start. And we're right there for the first half. And I like what I see so far from this group. We're a very balanced team.
It's going to be a great season, Mark. Thanks so much for the time. Good luck this season.
Okay. Hope to see you again, Joe. Thank you.
That's San Jose Giants general manager, Mark Wilson. Recently at AT&T Park in San Francisco, I caught up with former Giants pitcher and current Cincinnati Reds pitching coach, Danny Darwin. Let's listen in. First off, Danny, how's it going with the Cincinnati Reds? I know that, you know, they made changes. You became the pitching coach. Looks like a good young team that you guys have.
Yeah, it's always fun to have a challenge, you know, and I come over here. Most of these kids I've had are, you know, three of the five starters I've had. A couple guys in the bullpen and some guys right below them. So hopefully we can get over and get everything turned around. You know, these kids, it's a learning process right now, but each and every time they go out there, they're getting better. And that's what we're looking for, is good results.
They're building them bigger and stronger these days, I guess. I mean, this kid Romano, he's 6'5", 270. I don't want to get in a fight with that guy.
No, I had Sal in Double A, and actually he had a terrible first half, but in the second half of the Southern League the year he was there, he's probably the best pitcher there. The biggest thing with Sal, you know, he throws hard. Sometimes he gets a little strikeout happy and gets the ball up in the zone. But for the most part, he's a good hard sinker down in the zone, 96, 97 miles an hour. Big, strong kid with a good curveball.
Let's talk about your past. You're a former Giant, and you were part of a meaningful season in Giants history, 1997, winning the division. And you got traded to the Giants that year at the trade deadline. Tell us about coming over to San Francisco, you know, being a Giant later in your career and being on that winning team.
Well, number one, I was kind of surprised because I was with the White Sox, and it's me, Wilson Alvarez, and Roberto Hernandez. So two of your starters and your closer come over here, but you know, anytime you can go to a team that's contending, has a chance to be in the playoffs, you know, that's what you want to do. That's why we all play this game for it. And I was just ecstatic once I got over here, you know, and got to know the guys, got in a winning attitude over here, and given a chance to play in the playoffs.
Dusty Baker was a special manager, no doubt, wherever he's been. But with the Giants, I would think that there was a lot of enthusiasm in that dugout and in that bullpen, just the way that he ran the operation there.
Well, Dusty, I've always said, has been one of my favorite managers. If there's such thing as a player's manager, he was. You know, he played the game. He realized you're going to have slumps, realized you're going to go 0 for 15, realized the pitcher's going to go, you know, two or three games and not have their good stuff. So it was just a joy to play for him. Plus, being older, you know, he kind of let me police myself, I guess you would say, out there, and I knew what it took. But just being having a chance to play for him and coming over and contending that season was special.
Did you guys have some characters on that pitching staff? I mean, I know Sean Estes was on that staff. I think, Kirk Reeder? I mean, it seems like they were a pretty lively group.
It was. You know, I was like the old guy on there. But, you know, just being able to come over here and contend, that was the main thing. You know, I became friends with every one of them who's over here still to this day, you know. Stay in touch with a couple of them. But the main thing, when I got traded over, I had a job to do, and I just tried to do the best I could.
You know, you think about a closer, I think Rod Beck was a guy who would come in, and he just looked like a closer. He just looked like a guy who was going to be nasty out there. What was it like to be his teammate?
Well, I didn't know Rod at all until I came over, and you know, I'd seen him throw on TV and in spring training. I thought he was like one of the meanest guys I've ever seen. And then once I got over here to get to know him, you know, how laid back he was and how he took his job and was able to go out there and perform under situations was just special. And, you know, over the period of time I was here with him that we became friends, and just his work ethic, his habits, how he went about the game was special.
I guess everybody's got a different style. I mean, he used to hang his arm down and look in, and it just looked like he could intimidate hitters. I mean, do you to this day think in some ways it's important to, you know, have a guy on your staff that can be intimidating like that?
Well, you know, I try to preach over. I always want the inside of the plate, inside part. I think that what that does is allow maybe a little bit more room for error on the outer half part, and that's what I preach these young kids over. If you don't pitch in the big leagues, if you can't pitch inside, you're not going to be around very long.
You had Barry Bonds and Jeff Kent on that team. I mean, that was quite a lineup for a pitcher to try to navigate through back in 1997.
Oh, it was. I mean, it was a good lineup. There's no doubt. You know, it wasn't an easing out in it. And the main thing you do, though, is each guy's got to take his job, what his responsibility was. And that team, I think that year was probably one of the most professionalized teams that I'd been on.
Was it hard to get loose in the bullpen when it was so cold at Candlestick Park back in those days? I mean, now this ballpark, it can get chilly, but I don't think it's the same really as Candlestick.
Well, you know, number one, you know, you got access to go up into the clubhouse. So most guys know what their roles are. So the main thing you do is go up and try to get loose in the clubhouse, come back so it doesn't take so long.
You pitched in a lot of different places. What kind of character did San Francisco have to you? I mean, did you enjoy those, you know, two seasons, season and a half, really, that you were in San Francisco compared to other places?
I did. I mean, anytime you can go to a team that's contending and have a chance to play in the playoffs, it's always special. And coming here and being able to experience that with those guys is very special to me.
What about now compared to then as far as the pitchers and how they really go about their business? Because these guys have power arms now. So what do you talk to them about maybe, you know, lending your experience from being, you know, a major leaguer 20 years ago to what these guys are trying to accomplish now?
Well, there's no doubt guys throw harder. They're bigger and stronger today. Usually guys that throw harder are really hard to teach to pitch because their mentality is to throw harder, which sometimes you have to back off. We got a lot of hard throwers in our organization from top to bottom, and you got to take these kids to the side. You got to kind of talk to them about how it is to pitch. You know, we got a guy, Hunter Green, our number one draft choice, throws 101, 102. He's been getting hit around, but now he's learning how to locate, how to change speeds on his pitches. So the main thing with those guys is you've got to learn how to pitch, and just having a plus arm is just benefits you more.
You know, home runs were going up, but strikeouts are really going up this year. So do you think the pitchers made the adjustment? They saw the hitters were going for launch angle, and now they're combating that?
Well, guys throw harder, number one, and the launch angle thing is a big thing now with hitters, and I think guys are pitching more up in the zone, so you're seeing more strikeouts.
I mean, it's kind of hard to connect if you're launch angling it and the guy pitches up. I mean, you would think that, you know, that's not going to work for those guys with the launch angle very much.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, a lot of scouting report on hitters is when you get ahead to go up in the zone. And so that's what we try to do, just like every other club. And but the main thing is, you know, they still got to hit the ball no matter where it's at. And you still got to make good pitches.
All right, to finish up, who were the toughest hitters that you had to face if you had to go back and think? And, I know you pitched in both leagues and for a number of teams. Were there a couple or three guys that were just, oh, man, they were tough to get out?
Well, every hitter's tough. There's no doubt. But, names that stand out. Barry Bonds definitely was a tough out for me. Ken Griffey Jr. in the American League was a tough out.
Well, those are, top-of-the-line hitters. Danny, thanks so much for the time. Good luck with the Reds.
All right, thank you.
That's Reds pitching coach Danny Darwin, a former member of the San Francisco Giants pitching staff. Want to thank him and everybody from San Jose who joined us, Logan Webb, Matt Wynn, Joe Rizzo, and Mark Wilson. We'll continue our look at the Giants farm system by chatting with some members of the AAA Sacramento Rivercats in the Pacific Coast League. Derek Rodriguez is one of our guests later on this week. He is now a member of the San Francisco Giants, called up for the first time, son of Pudge Rodriguez getting the call up, and we'll hear from him later on this week, as well as Austin Slater, who's bounced back and forth between the Giants and the Rivercats. The voice of the Rivercats, Johnny Dosco, will be our guest, as well as the hitting coach up there in Sacramento, Damon Miner. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.